Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, February the 13th, 2024, and this is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, Blog Talk Radio. And our topic, as many of you know, is why won't the Black Miss Leadership class support our political prisoners? Leonard Peltier is losing his sight. Mamia Abu-Jamal is being tortured by medical neglect. Truly, anatomy of oppression requires an anatomy of the colonial imperial system. And we have a mini featured program for you tonight with some honorable, wonderful guest speakers. But you know how we always start off, Ralph Pointer represents.
Said to me, every person who understands the value of freedom has it. So let's start looking at what are the impediments, what gets in the way of our exercise of freedom. So we begin with terms there. We must understand the difference between a police department and an army of occupation. Throughout our history, we have been subjugated by an army of occupation, as was testified in this program just a few minutes ago when we talked about slavery, Reconstruction, the defeated army of the South coming back home. along with their weapons, and the continuation of laws, codes, to keep us from having freedom. We must understand this. Recently, we have had glaring examples of what an army of occupation does. They terrorize the communities that they occupy. As was mentioned in this program, Stop and Frisk in New York. If you're black in a black community, if you're black anywhere, you can be stopped because of your blackness and frisk. That's what an army of occupation does. In St. Louis, you shoot a young man on the street and leave him lay there. What does that mean in a mechanized society? That they ran out of cars? That they ran out of transportation? No, what it means is everyone is to look at that and be terrorized. No different than when someone was lynched, hung, burned, with everyone watching and cheering, and the community was not allowed to take the body down. What does that mean? That means terror. That's what a terror organization does. What happens in a city like Chicago, where people are stopped based on their color, tortured, with full acknowledgement of the press, the media, the courts. Nothing is done. That's terror. What does it mean when our people who fought for freedom are waterboarded in a toilet, fingernails pulled out, etc., with full knowledge of the courts? Nothing is done. What does that mean? That's a terror organization and a terror system. Now let me give you an example of a police situation. Just recently, a young man shot 10 people, blew the brains out of the policeman. He was arrested. He was handcuffed. That, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, is police work. Not too far preceding that, a young man killed 6 Asians. Video cams picked him up on the highway, arrested him. That, my dear friends, is police work. And I can give you example after example, and I defy anyone who says it is not the way I say it to look at all of those so-called army of occupation that killed, terrorized our people, were found guilty and charged and sentenced. Find one who completed the sentence. And this is terror. This is the difference in police and terror. And now I'm going to go on to another example of a young man, high school graduate, honor student, borrows a family car, gets in a fender bender, jumps out and runs, gets shot in the back. No problem with that. We know the color of this student. That is terror. That is to remind us constantly where we live. And I say to you, when we understand the difference, that department, that army of occupation is there to do the job they have been doing since our existence on this continent and before our existence on the continent. Terror. Now we have another example of how we resist this terror. There was a young man who came from Vietnam, worked in Harlem as a chef and a cook, and he went back home to his country of Vietnam. And he's famous for saying 50 years is not too long to work for freedom. First, they fought the terror of the French, the army occupation of the French. Then they fought the army of occupation of Japan. Then they fought the army of occupation of the French. Then they fought the army of occupation of Americans. But they knew what freedom was worth. Because 50 years is not too long to fight for freedom. And they beat the Americans because they were willing to sacrifice at a rate of 20-1 to defeat the American army of occupation. And the Americans never got closer than 11-1. They guaranteed their freedom. And I say to you, and I'm going to close with this. Once we understand what freedom is worth, then we will get freedom. Once we understand the sacrifice that is necessary to get freedom, then we will get freedom. Once we understand, appreciate, and love and honor those who sacrifice their lives for our freedom, then we will begin the path to freedom. Never, 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 as Jihad has explained to us, allow our freedom fighters to languish in the death camps. And let's be clear about that. Stop prisons. Don't use that term. They're death camps. If you are a political person. Brief example. A young man, not so young, middle-aged black man, killed his mother, got out of jail after 10 years, and ended up kicking and brutalizing an Asian woman on the street in full view of everyone. It's okay for him to serve 10 years for murdering his mother. While another young man, and I had intended today to read his statement, Chip Fitzgerald, 51 years in the death camp. It is not okay for him to come home and to hug his grandchildren as he has spoken. That is what terror is about. If you fight for freedom for an oppressed community, then you are terrorized with the threat of life in a death camp, as opposed to killing your mother and going to jail. That's different. And so we must begin to define where we are. We are a terrorized community. And I ask every one of you, if you were in Minneapolis while the young man was being tortured for 10 minutes, would you have tolerated it? We have been terrorized into helplessness. It was explained by Hannah Arendt many years ago when it was about white oppression in Europe, about playing the role of the victim. We have been terrorized into playing the role of the victim and using the speech of the victim. Let's get away from that. I don't want to hear police anymore, army of occupation. I don't want to hear jail anymore. I want to know death camps. And I want to know about that word that we started out with. Uhuru, freedom. What does it mean?
And without further ado, we will continue, as we always start our program, with poetry in honor of Sister Lynn. And now we add Comrade Ralph Pointer to that wonderful group of people we honor with poetry, with Professor Louis. However, I have to announce Sister Julia was under the weather and could not join us tonight, but she sends you words of freedom, Yohuru, and she will be back next week. As many of you know, she is working very hard to Free Mamiya and supporting Leonard Peltier. And tonight we have an incredible group of warriors and former political prisoners who are going to join us in lifting up the shout and demand to free Mamiya, to free Leonard. But without further ado, we thank Professor Louie, who, as always, faithfully joins us, and he will be one of our performers on March the 21st when we lift up and celebrate the life of the warrior we just heard, Ralph Poynter, at Riverside Church, 5 to 9 p.m. on Thursday. I hope you will be there and you will celebrate with us. Right now, Professor Louie, your mic is open, and then we will see. We have Sister Ramona Africa in the house. We have Comrade Ori Lumumba in the house. We have Yod. We have Anne. We have Kazi. We have Henry. And we have got to celebrate them. Without further ado, Professor Louie, open up our hearts and help us receive the message this evening.
Wake up. Wake up. Levantate, wake up, man, lost in the steel and cement of New York City. We have got to wake up, lost in Monday to Friday, endless slavery, selling our precious lives for a few jive little dollars. We have got to wake up. Do not sleep life away in front of TV or online commercials where white people and black people get along so good, all smiley, happy. Is this the country you actually live in? We have got to wake up. Do not sleep life away in front of TV or online soap operas all happening in fine big houses where no one ever gets laid off, no one gets cut off welfare, no one wakes up in the winter with no heat, no hot water, the roaches in charge, and the landlord in Florida hoping you will move so he can get more rent from the next tenant. We have got to wake up. Do not sleep life away in front of TV or online, watching good-looking super cops, really super killers, really just super schmucks, wasting 11 guys a night with karate chops and automatic firepower. The good guys on these shows are just as nasty as the bad guys. We have got to wake up. Do not sleep life away in front of TV or online where nobody ever gets cheated by the electric company, cheated by the supermarket, cheated by the phone company, cheated by the health insurance company, cheated by the landlord, and cheated by the boss all in the same day. We have got to wake up. Drinking Coca-Cola, drinking Coors beer, will not help you make it with beautiful, expensive women. It will only give you a beer belly and a headache. We have got to wake up. You will be loving it at McDonald's until they give you diabetes, high blood pressure, heart attack, stroke, and a freaking stomach ache. We have got to wake up. Coca-Cola is not the real thing. It's a cheap chemical poison that eats up your stomach, rots your teeth, and makes scrambled eggs out of your brains. We have got to wake up. You will never own a new Mercedes SUV. If you buy one, you will find it on the street 3 weeks later with the battery ripped off, the radio ripped off, the tires ripped off, the windows broke, the catalytic converter ripped off, the windows broke, the insides burnt out, and you will still have 3 years of payments left to make. We have got to wake up. Do not sleep life away in front of Hollywood fantasy movies. Everyone's so rich and so clean, they never go to work on the number two train in the rush hour. We have got to wake up. Do not sleep life away in front of TV or online news that says Muslim people in Iran are our enemy and the Exxon oil company is our friend. The Exxon company paid for the news program in the first place. We have got to wake up. Do not sleep life away saying the boss is a good guy because he buys you coffee in the morning. Every single thing he buys is with money you made for him. We have got to wake up. Do not sleep life away in front of The Bachelor, The Voice, The Bachelorette, Pepsi Cola, Budweiser beer, or the Citibank that never sleeps but stays up all night, ripping you off while you sleep. We have got to wake up. We are ripped off, bought off, paid off, laid off, stuffed off, turned off, jerked off more off than on. We are oppressed, depressed, impressed, excessed, compressed, and repressed. We are discriminated, medicated, enervated, inundated, overpopulated, masturbated, castrated, incriminated, and incarcerated. We are analyzed, advertised, anesthetized, hypnotized, spiritualized, psychedelicized, polarized, depoliticized, and lobotomized. We must not sleep life away in front of TV or online dreamland until eternal rest funeral homes comes to roll you out to the cemetery in Long Island on the installment plan your family pays later, a real layaway plan. You lay, they pay. We have got to wake up. Yo, man, we are alive. Every day the wind blows the leaves in the tree. Every day the sun lights up the sky. Every night the dark falls quiet on everything. We are not separate pieces of someone's big money machine. We are all one human family going back thousands of years, all colors of the rainbow. We have got to wake up. Yo, man, we are alive. The kids play on the kitchen floor. The touch of your sweetheart at night. We were born to breathe clean air, drink fresh water, dance all night without the radio. We were born to move together, to remove forever this money-mad corporate monster robbing and poisoning us every day. We were born to eat the fruit off the trees and the plants from the ground. We were born to respect the old people, to be kind to the children, to respect the earth we walk on. We were born to make a brand new world for the babies, to share what we have all day long and love all night deep into the midnight hour. But first, from the get-go, number one, from Jump Street, in the beginning, before anything else, we have got to wake up.
Right on, right on, right on. Yes, up, vanguard up. Thank you, comrade. Thank you. Without further ado, we're going to ask Anne to introduce our special guest this evening. We're opening up the mic for Sister Ramona Africa and comrade Ori Lumumba. Thank you.
You want me to introduce people?
Yes, dear.
Okay, I have to say that Sister Ramona Africa, and I believe Sister Janine Africa may also be there together, are two of my heroes. They are an amazing, inspiring women who have been fighting this system all their lives and have paid a very heavy price, as Ralph was saying at the beginning, what is the ultimate price of freedom? Okay, so and they're still out here working really hard for their brother and comrade, Mumia Abu-Jamal, as is Ori. Ori and I have been friends for a long time. He is New York City Friends of Mu. He has also gone with me to visit many of our political prisoners over the years, and he paid for me to go when I was unemployed, which I really appreciate. So I will turn it over to them, and all power to the people. On the move.
On the move.
On the move.
On the move.
Yes. And we want to say thank you for having us on here, you know, to talk about this issue and what's going on with Mumia. At the same time, we want to acknowledge and say presente for our brother Ralph and all of the wonderful work that he did when he was here on this level. We want to acknowledge you too, Sister Betty, and all the wonderful work that you continue to do to carry on what Brother Ralph and Sister Lynn Stewart was doing. So we want to tell you on the move.
On the move, Yahuru.
Yahuru, on the move.
On the move, Sister Betty. This is Ramona.
Oh, how wonderful. I haven't heard you in so long. Thank you for joining us tonight.
I know.
So
it's
let's
been
get
too long.
It, let's get to it. Let's talk about Mamiya.
Okay. Well, you know, Mamiya is our brother. We were fighting for him from the beginning, from December 9th, 1981, and we're still fighting for him. You know, this government is torturing him. You know, he's had, what do they call it?
Hepatitis,
you know, for a while, and they didn't want to do anything for him. You know, we were in court where he was talking about, you know, his hepatitis, and they still didn't want to do anything for him. So what we're saying is they wanted to execute Mamiya, but the people backed them off of executing Mamiya outright. So now they want to execute him through medical neglect, you know, and MOVE is saying, no way, no way. We're going to keep our brother, you know, and we'll never stop. John Africa teach MOVE that you are victorious as long as you continue to fight. Now, you are defeated when you stop fighting. That's the only way you'll be defeated.
That's right. Janine, Eddie, y'all want to chime in?
Yeah, you know, people need to take this serious because they are really trying to execute Mamiya.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Mamiya, but all of the revolutionary political prisoners in there. It's a hit list, and they're going down that hit list, and they are picking them off one time.
Mm-hmm.
When they release them, they're dying in a matter of weeks, months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's serious. They are trying, because all of these people dedicated their life to fighting for freedom, and they were seen as symbols to everybody in the cause and all those outside, and they don't want people to have that symbol, and they're going down the list. You know, and Mamiya is at the top of the list. You know, he is the voice of the voiceless, and they don't want him out on them streets. They want to show people what happens when you dare to challenge this system. And they want to kill Mamiya, and not just kill him, but torture him and kill him slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you got to ask yourself, why are all these political prisoners getting these terminal diseases?
Mm-hmm.
How did Mamiya get hepatitis C anyway? You know, why is Leonard Peltier going blind? Go down the list. All of these people that are dying of these diseases, these are strong, strapping men and women who was fighting in the streets and was very strong in the prisons. Now suddenly they are getting these diseases, and it's acceptable because people don't see doctors and administrative people like that as murderers. But it's just very strange that all of these people that are involved in fighting against this system are dying like this. You know, we had our brothers and sisters mysteriously get these diseases and die in prison. Phil Africa, Merle Africa, and you might as well say Delbert because he only was out with us for 6 months. Chuck Africa. These are MOVE people. Anybody that know MOVE people know that we are healthy. If nothing else, healthy. How are these healthy men and women getting these diseases and dying in prison? And with Merle and Phil, the prisons had to say they died under suspicious circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And this applies to all of them. And I'm telling you, they are trying to not just kill Mamiya, but torture him. Do you know what he is going through? Scratching and itching every day, 24 hours a day. And store for him. You know, they gave him the hepatitis, I think they did, and didn't want to give him the medicine for it. Waited till he got sclerosis of the liver. So, you know, we just want people to know it's urgent. Mumia, none of the political prisoners are safe in prison, and people should not feel relaxed with them in prison. It's urgent. Mumia's situation is just as urgent as it was when they signed those death warrants. When they signed them death warrants, the people came together and they stormed the streets, flooded all the state reps, everybody. Well, this is the same situation, and everybody need to muster up the energy that they used back then to get him off of that death row and get him out of that death sentence right now.
You know, they took him off the death row and gave him a sentence of life in prison, but it's no life in prison. You know, what they're doing is giving him an execution, a long-term execution. And people better understand what's happening there. You know, some people, after the death warrant was reversed and he got a life in prison sentence, people thought he had won something, that this was a good thing. And we're saying, ain't nothing good about spending your entire life in prison. And some people don't take a stand. Huh?
Death camp. Brother Ralph said death camp.
Yeah, oh,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Death
camp. You know it's a death camp.
Exactly.
And if you listen, look at her website, Sister Ann is always publishing how it is moving more and more toward death camps with these lockdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. You know, they just come out and tell you that them places is just for containment.
Mm-hmm.
Containment, not no rehabilitation, no correction, just containment while they make money off of those people's lives in there.
And murder them.
And that's what medical neglect means. And I want to second what they are saying about Comrade Mamiya's skin condition. Ralph's condition is very, very similar to Mamiya's. And he used to point that out. They really don't have a proper diagnosis for skin cancer. And Ralph was misdiagnosed for 15 years, saying he had eczema. He had poison ivy. And we really, Ralph always suspected that Mamiya has a condition very similar to his. And even on the outside, Ralph felt like he was being tortured with all their medical procedures. So how do you think Mamiya feels in the death camps where he's not getting any medical attention? And this is the point our comrades in MOVE are making with you this evening. Brother Ori, did you want to add some more?
Yeah, I definitely want to add some more. The issues of medical neglect inside of these prisons, they've always been real. It's always been an issue as it relates to incarcerated men and women. But as it relates to political prisoners, it's a whole nother ball game. Like, if people, they could sit there and think, well, Mumia's getting adequate care, or they could think that, you know, they could think whatever. But they're denying Mumia the proper medical attention he needs so they could kill him. You know, they failed to kill him on December 9th, 1981. They failed to kill him in 95 and 99 when they signed their death warrants. So they're using another avenue now to kill Mumia through medical neglect. Like my brothers and sisters said, he had hepatitis C, and he had to sue the prison to get proper treatment, not for himself, just for himself, for all of the men and women in state prisons affected with hepatitis C. And when he won the lawsuit and when they finally gave him the treatment, he had cirrhosis of the liver, which he's still suffering from. You know, he's dealing with anemia, with high blood pressure. He had open heart surgery where he's not able to get the proper diet he needs, but no one in prison gets the proper diet, basically. You know, exercise, fresh air, he's not being allowed to get none of that right now. So they are slowly continuing the plot, and that's to kill Momia. And this relates to political prisoners. If people don't think not, they can look at what happened in Nebraska, how the FOP lodged a campaign to keep Mondolonga, David Rice, and Ed Poindexter in prison till death, which they did. I mean, Ed had his knee cut off. You know, he was doing dialysis daily, was in hospice, and the only reason his family found out he was in hospice because the lawyer was there to visit him and found out. This is what we're dealing with, and this is the same fate that they want Momia to have. They want Momia to die in there. Like, people will talk about compassionate or compassionate release, and that's fine. That's not a put-down of nobody, but I'm going to be real about this. When has this system ever been compassionate towards anything for Momia?
And to do is, as we wrap this portion up, is to tell people what you want them to do. You know the problem. And we are specifically saying in Jericho and in the Black is Back Coalition, if you don't come out for us, we ain't coming out for you. We're going to sit on our hands come November. If you don't show up for us, we're not going down like Gaza. We're going down like Ho Chi Minh, because 50 years is not too long to fight. This is our stand. We will not vote for anybody who does not like we have the right to human rights. Sister Ann, what do you want people to do?
Well, I would say one thing that people can do, which is for sure, I know that on February 24th, there's going to be a whole event at St. Mary's Church here in Harlem, which is the medical committee. Momia does have a medical committee, and so they will be giving a report. And that's at 6 p.m. at St. Mary's Church. It's up on jerichony.org. They're asking people to register soon because, as people may know, St. Mary's is not huge. And this will have guest speakers. We'll have, of course, a recorded message from Momia himself. We'll have Brian DeLoyo, who's a jailhouse lawyer, another recorded message. Dr. Ricardo Alvarez, who's Momia's outside consultant doctor and who is fantastic. Jose Saldana from Release Aging People in Prison, another formerly incarcerated person who I know personally because I met him when he was still inside at Sullivan. Noel Hanrahan from Prison Radio and also now an attorney. Reverend Dr. Keith Collins from the Church of the Overcomer in Philadelphia. Sarah Flounders, the co-director of the International Action Center. And Pam Africa, founder of International Concerned Family and Friends Momia. And we'll have some music composed by Momia. He's really amazing. Not only does he write and speak, but he also does music. He has a piece called Vampire Nation. That should be really good. So that is coming up very soon, and I'm sure from there we will get our marching orders of what exactly we are to do. In the meantime, people can still call D.A. Krasner and demand that he drop the charges. He's done it for other people, but he hasn't done it for Momia, you know. And what is the reason behind that? I'm sure he's made some kind of deal with the FOP in order not to lose his job.
But we're talking about Democrats, are we not?
I believe
he's elected to Democrats. Let's be clear.
Yeah, an elected Democrat.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes, indeedy. Okay, so do you
want
to... And Ramona...
Something I wanted to say about...
Some more.
What people can do. What they can do is write Momia letters. Let him
Thank
know
you.
That he has the support of the people out here. You know what I mean? Flood the prisons with as many letters as you can. And
Good
show
idea.
Him. You know what I mean? Show him that he is loved and people are fighting for him.
That's right.
Thank
My
you.
Name is Eddie Africa.
Thank you so much, Comrade Eddie. Thank you. Thank you, Sister
Good
Ramona.
Move.
And
yeah, I just want to say one other thing. You know, a lot of people don't want to take a stand and, you know, come out and do what's necessary. But We're not saying that people have to be on the front line, because everybody is not going to be on the front line. But the thing is, if you don't take a stand, not just for Move or Mumia, but for yourself. I mean, people didn't come out like they should have after the bombing of my family, May 13th of 85, but 11 of our family members that was murdered that day. But when you look around Philadelphia and across the country, people is being killed right and left, you know, numbers of them. Numbers of them. So why are people, you know, so, I don't know what the word is, so hesitant to stand up against this system? Because you're not safe if you don't stand up against it, but you are making things safer for yourself, your family, your children, your grandchildren, if you take a stand and come at this system and let them know that we ain't going to take it anymore.
Thank you. Thank you, Move. Thank you, Sister Ann Lam of New York City, Jericho. We have not finished discussing Leonard and Mumia, but we do have to move on, and I am honored that you got on tonight. And please, people, let's remember the language. They are terrorists. This is an army of occupation, and they are no different than the Israelis in Gaza. Let's face facts. This is what Comrade Ralph started off telling us. You have to look at reality. You have to stand up and be represented by any way you can. And surely if we cannot listen to Sister Ramona and Brother Eddie and Comrade Ori, then who will we listen to? You're going to wait till
you're
in the death. There's just minimum and maximum security. And we're in minimum security. We can do a little bit more than we're doing. I'm honored that you came on, and I thank you. And I thank you, Sister Ann, for expediting this. I want to move on because I know there's a long list of people who want to speak. But please remember the language Brother Ralph is trying to make you understand. When you speak the language, you change your reality. You change the perception of other people's reality. Stop calling them police. It's an army of occupation that is here to terrorize us, and that is why they won't release Mumia. And remember what Brother Eddie said. Send the mail. Go to Jericho website. Learn where you can write to. You may not remember everything tonight, but go to the Jericho website and learn what to do. I want to move on. We've got a few announcements that we need to get out there because a lot is happening. And when we show up for these events, especially the one that Sister Ann reminded you of at St. Mary's Church on February the 24th, there are other activities out there. I have a special guest, Comrade Raven. Last numbers are 5702. Your mic is open. I think you have an announcement for us, and welcome.
Peace and love. Blessings to everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. My first time calling in, so I just want to say it's an honor. Hearing everyone speak so far definitely has brought me to the point where I just wanted to say something really quick before I make my announcement, and that is we here in what we call America, the settler colonial state that is occupying Turtle Island, many of us are very pathetic in this moment. We are forgiving, we are compromising, we are ignoring, and we are letting go. And in the spirit of the poem, the words that were read earlier in the program, I just think that it's important to understand that until we shed this hesitation, this fear, this unwillingness to act, we will face the same levels of repression, if not more, with nothing so much as to call a defense. So I just wanted to say that. And my announcement today, thank you for the opportunity to bring it on the show, is that February 19th at 3551 Laconia Ave in the Bronx, that's in 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., we are hosting at the Spirit of Mandelic, the People's Senate Northeast, a Community Genocide Convention. It is going to be a Black History program, community gathering for discussing global and local issues, engaging with some presentations, connecting with neighbors, and also exploring ways to drive some change. We are asking folks that have any donations of clothes, specifically gently used or new winter clothes, to bring them either today, Tuesday, I know it's getting late, or Thursday, anywhere between 6 and 7 p.m. to the Bridgefield Civic League. Those will be handed out on February 19th. Again, the event is happening at 3551 Laconia Ave, Bronx, New York, February 19th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. I want to thank you very much, Sister Betty. It's been a long time coming, and I'm sad to see that Sister Julia wasn't able to join us tonight. I look forward to connecting more in the future. All power to the people. All love to Comrade Mumia. And be on the lookout. You can find out more information on this event and more at spiritofmandela.org or by looking up People's Senate or About the People on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter, as well as YouTube. Thank you.
No, we thank you. Folks, it's not enough to say, oh, woe is me. As Brother Ralph said, these are terrorists. We are being terrorized. And they want to terrorize you into doing nothing about it. But we must do something about it. Even if you just write a letter to Mumia, I can testify to how powerful that is. One day in prison, Sister Lynn got over 400 letters. It was so much they couldn't put it in one box. And you could count absence of pressure on her with the increase in mail. That means the whole world is watching. You must, if you can't do anything else, send a letter for Mumia and send it now. Send it to the death camps. Let the torturers, the people who are committing war crimes against us, know we are watching. Thank you for getting on, Comrade Raven. Everybody should try and be there on the 19th. Everybody should be there on the 24th. If you can't do anything else, pack the halls where there is resistance. We want to continue. We want to ask. And we have extended the time, but I still want to get everybody in. We've got an incredible list of people on tonight. We want to ask our comrades whose last four digits are, there I go with my slowness again. Oh, I see it. Yes, here we are. 7785, your mic is open. 7785, if you want to say a few words, your mic is open, and thank you for waiting.
Yes, let me make a couple of observations, a couple of comments, especially upon what's been said already. And it's important and really life and death crucial, important information, the information about Mumia and the information about Leonard in particular, talking about these two dear, brave comrade brothers. One thing I would like to say, medical neglect is certainly absolutely what's going on, but really it's more than that. It's medical attack. It's attack against these Mumia, attack against Leonard using medical means and a lack of medical treatment to do exactly as has been said, to try to murder these people and murder them sooner rather than later. So that's how we should frame it in our mind, because medical neglect is a serious and bad thing. But what we're talking about is attack, medical attack against people to literally kill them. I would just like to add a little bit the information about Leonard, how his sight is diminishing and might be blind soon. There's that information about calling some politicians and demanding that they start treating Leonard, at least give him some kind of treatment, and also the situation with Mumia in the same regard. And also, let me just say that the idea of sending letters, just, you know, it can be a long letter, it can be just words of solidarity and support and love and appreciation for what these two comrades and all political prisoners have done so far in their lives, but receiving lots and lots of mail not only gives a little strength and shows a little of the love that's out here for them, but it also, it really scares the prison. It scares the prison and the prison, the fascist, you know, so-called cops that run these prisons, it scares them. When they see hundreds, dozens or hundreds of letters coming in to certain political prisoners, they know people are watching, and it scares them. And so for that reason, but especially for the reason of giving, letting these comrades know our love and support for them, it's an easy thing to do, and it's and all of us should do it. You know, even whatever else you're doing, work and so forth, send a couple of letters, you know, and do it more than once. And, you know, let me leave it at that because I know there's lots of other people that have important things to say. Free them all.
Free them all.
That Mumia has fought, has spoken up for everybody. We owe him. We owe him to stand up for him. You know, to, like my sister said, to write letters to him. Let him know that he has support and love out here. He gave it to people, and it's time for the people to give it back to him.
That's right.
Right on.
And
right on.
We can do that in the form of action. Like we're telling people, you can call 215-686-8000. That's the phone number for Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner, 215-686-8000. Call the DA's office and demand that they immediately drop the charges against Mumia. And I should make one quick point. They have a conviction integrity unit where cases of judicial misconduct, prosecutorial misconduct is being reviewed. And there's been 40 cases so far where people have been released. But there's cases where people have been exonerated. Everyone except Mumia. And Mumia's innocence is shown, and evidence, overwhelming evidence of judicial misconduct is shown. So why is Mumia the exception? That's all I wanted to add. Hello?
Hello?
I'm leaving the mic for the people from Move Open, but if I hear too much background, I may have to shut it off, but I'll immediately shut it back on. All right, Brother Kazi, your mic is open.
Yes, yes, peace, sister. Big ups to Mumia. Big ups to Pam, Ramona, and all the people that's on, been on tonight. I just want to add on a couple of things. You know, like, these are death camps, you know. So much so, sister, that, you know, like, we have to go back. Remember Albizu Campos, the Puerto Rican nationalist leader that they poisoned, that they gave cancer to in the 50s? They've been continually doing this. They've been targeting our political prisoners, just like from slavery all the way up. Anybody who dares to speak about what's going on, they want to get rid of them. And Mumia has been the voice of the people since, you know, when he was a journalist. And you know, letters are good and phone calls are good, and people should do that. You know, but if this movement doesn't carry with it any more than that, then we're not going to get them. You know, we got to start targeting these people that's walking around the communities and these judges and whatnot. Yeah. And, you know, put pressure on them at their cribs. You know, we got to start stepping it up.
All right.
You know, if the movement doesn't carry with it something to tear some shit up, they ain't going to take it serious. They ain't going to take
it serious.
All right, on the move.
Thank you. These all right, we're going to go to some people who seem to be calling in for the first time, and I like to honor them. The last four digits are 9917. If you want to make a comment, yes, your mic is open. 9917. Did you want to make a comment? Three digits are 551. Last four digits, 9917. Did you want to make a comment? All right, we're going to keep moving on. I want to acknowledge that we have our usual stalwart warrior in the house, Brother Sayeto. Your mic is open.
Ooh, fantastic carrying on tonight. I wanted to make the announcements. You were in the meeting with me today as well. Just like Mamiya, just like Leonard Peltier, just like any other revolutionary, we all know now that the charges will not be dropped against the Uhuru Three. That means Chairman Omalia Sitella, Penny Hess, and Jesse Neville. As a matter of fact, the trial in Tampa, Florida, will be September the 3rd. Plan to be there in support, as we all need to support these political prisoners. Even when they give us death on the outside and death on the inside. They're afraid. The system is, they know this thing is going to bounce. People in the world are tired of the United States. They're tired of not having their own agency, tired of their lives being stolen, resources being stolen, and it happens so rapid as if it's a non-care when you deal with these nihilists, these terrorists. So I would like everybody to go to Hands Off of Uhuru or handsoffuhuru.org. And you can look at the events that are forthcoming, also getting involved as we all need to be involved with each one of our initiatives as a collective. I've been listening to Comrade Ann Lamb, who steadily puts out information in email. Sister Betty Davis steadily puts out information no matter where she goes. Sister Lisa, Sister Brenda Parker Brown, very strong and powerful. Ralph Porter is proud where Ralph Porter is at this point. But he was so profound, and the resounding words, this I heard from the Africa family, still exists today. Terrorism is not going anywhere. As far as the misleadership class, they will continue to support the colonial mode of production. They have no intention. When you want to be loved, you're willing to do whatever it takes, even at the expense of your own, to love your enemy. Love him more than you love yourself. So I want to ask everybody to please, excuse me, my voice is breaking up. I've been pretty ill myself. Handsoffuhuru.org. Please get involved, as we all need to be reciprocating. Nobody will liberate us but us.
Thank you. Stay strong. Get well.
On the all move, right, this is Ramona.
Go ahead.
I just want to point out one thing, that these politicians, these judges, they don't live on the moon. They live right here on this earth with all of us in somebody's neighborhood. You know, so if we're talking about cranking things up, we can step to these people. I mean, wherever they're at. You know, let them know that they cannot hide from us. We know who they are and where they're at.
Right on. Brother Henry, your mic is open. Thank you, Comrade Sayeto.
Thank you, Sister Betty. I'd like to, and welcome to all our guests, some of who I know and haven't seen in a number of years. I'd like to cover 5 points quickly about the black misleadership class. Number one, do not support or endorse black politicians who back the Biden and Netanyahu genocidal assault in Palestine. This is not justified self-defense. Number two, black leadership at the Pentagon is not progress either. It is an effort to blind and mask U.S. imperial interests in Africa, the Caribbean, Latin America, and Asia. Three, be very suspicious of black politicians who sign off on billion and trillion dollar war budgets that advance attacks in Ukraine threaten Russian security, Chinese security, and others. The NATO umbrella is used as a spearhead to intimidate the rest of the world. Be mistrustful of black politicians who serve as window dressing for the Nancy Pelosi antagonistic junkets to Taiwan, as what happened 2 years ago. And five, be suspicious of black politicians who support the increased deployment of U.S. troops and weapons in all of Africa under AFRICOM. I have some
right
more, but I'll save that for the next time.
Thank you. Right on, Brother Henry Hagen. I was a representative for MAMIA. Thank you so much. I was going to take a brief backward step. We're going to open up our mic for Sister Ann. She has some very important marching orders for us. Sister Ann, your mic is open.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Betty. Sorry to be taking so much time, but it is very important. In addition to what the brother said about writing, I agree that's also important, and what Mamona said about let's go bother these people where they live. People are doing that right now outside of Blinken's house. To help Leonard maybe get some medical treatment for what's going on with his eyesight, because he's at the point where, you know, he has so much respect inside, so other incarcerated people are dialing phone numbers for him, helping him type his emails, and even help getting him getting around because he can't see it well enough to walk on his own. He is 79 years old, folks, so it's important that he get this treatment as soon as possible, at least to find out what exactly is happening with his eyesight. So we have been calling since yesterday. This week we're doing this, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We are calling Senator Richard Durbin. We are calling Senator John Ossoff. We are calling Senator Alex Padilla. We are calling U.S. Representative Matthew Frost. And you could just go to jerichoandy.org. All those phone numbers are there. And also, there is a script. So we even have a script of what to say. And, you know, this is, they are required, you know, by law to supposedly provide some kind of adequate level of care. As we well know, they are death camps, and this is deliberate. So we are not surprised, but we got to put the pressure on these people because, you know, these do violate the Americans with Disabilities Act, and they also violate the Eighth Amendment right against cruel and unusual punishment. So, you know, Leonard has also got other problems. He had a stroke in the past. He's got an abdominal aortic aneurysm that could burst at any time, which would then kill him. So, you know, the least we can do is make these phone calls and be persistent and insistent. There's two numbers for each person, their Washington office and their local office. Call all four of them. Call both numbers. Call tomorrow. Call on Friday. We're trying to do it on certain days, you know, so they feel that heat of so many phone calls. And if you go to freelandapeltianow.org, there's also emails for a couple of them. If you don't have the time to make a phone call, maybe you have the time to send an email. That would help as well. You know, and let's keep the pressure on and, you know, really see that we want to bring all of our people home as soon as possible. This is the year of the dragon, by the way. So we want all our dragons to fly out of the prisons. Thank you so much.
Right on, Sister Ann. We've got another number. Would like to let you know that if you want to say something, you can take a few moments to state your position. The first three numbers are 551. The last four digits are 9917. Did you want to make a brief comment? 9917. Did you want to make a comment? If not, we will move right along, and we welcome you and thank you for listening. 9917, your mic is open. Hello? Okay, we're going to move right along. As I said, all guests are welcome. I think we called this one again. All right, so we have, a scholar is in the house, Comrade Joel. Your mic is open. I hope you can hear us. Comrade Joel. Joel, your mic is open. And welcome.
It's really something listening to all of these facts which demonstrate what an unjust and anti-just society we're living in, and just, you know, too many people are too indifferent to those who have dedicated their entire lives for to bring about justice. We have a situation now where the criminals hold the keys to the cells. The criminals run the prison system. The criminals execute innocent people all the time. And that's become the norm. That's become the norm. The biggest criminals, the biggest murderers, the biggest thieves, the biggest liars are the people that are running this entire society. And they are so afraid that they have to lock up anyone that tells the truth and to shine the light on it, because we all have something in us that propels us towards having a just society, having a the people that deserve to be punished locked up, and maybe in some cases executed, and what we have is exactly the opposite. We have people who lock up other people are the biggest criminals themselves. And I do want to propose that maybe some people from this forum can get together and write out a small document, something that wouldn't take too much time to read and everything, that mentions all the leading political prisoners and has the essentials that most people don't even know. Even most people that call in here, they don't have something really concise that sums up the whole political prisoner situation with specifics and with an analysis of how this entire system that we live under is actually turns the world into a prison of different levels of security, again, run by the biggest criminals. So that's what I have to say for tonight.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We most appreciate it. I'm going to ask that I see we have a guest. The last four digits are 2863. 2863, your mic is open. Did you want to say something before we go back to our special guest? The first four digits, 774. The last digits, 2863. Do you want to make a brief comment? Your mic is open.
Thank you, Mama Betty. Free Leonard, free them all until they're all free. I'm enjoying the rest of the show. Free the land.
All right, Saddam, Republic of New Africa in the house. So glad you were able to join us. Miss you when you're not here. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we want to go back to our comrades in MOVE. Your mic is open. We're going to open up our comrades in Jericho as well. And Sister Ann, before we go back to Pam, I want you to make the announcement about the program at St. Mary's again, please, if you will.
Oh, of course, not a problem. On Saturday, February 24th, at 6 p.m., at St. Mary's Church in Harlem, which is actually at 521 West 126th Street, right across from the Army of Occupation's precinct, interestingly enough, the Mumia Abu-Jamal Health Committee is having a town hall meeting. And the title of this is What's Going On with Mumia Abu-Jamal, Palestine, and the Prison Abolition Movement. So we will have very important people speaking on this issue. Of course, we will have Mumia himself, one of the most renowned and wonderful journalists on the planet. We will have Bryant Arroyo, who is a jailhouse lawyer. That will also be a recorded message. We will have Dr. Ricardo Alvarez, who is fantastic. He's Lumia's consultant doctor, so he can really tell us exactly what is happening with Lumia right now. We have Jose Saldana, who is the director of the Release Aging People in Prison campaign, known as RAP, right here in New York State, a formerly incarcerated person himself. He had many years inside. I used to meet him when I would go to visit Seth. His wife was a neighbor of mine, and we'd be in the same van, and she was visiting him. And went one time, it turned out they knew each other, so that was nice, too. Noel Hanrahan will be there from Prison Radio. Reverend Dr. Keith Collins from the Church of the Overcomer in Philadelphia, who's been doing a lot of work, not only around Lumia, but other political prisoners as well. Sarah Flounders, co-director of the International Action Center. Mama Pam Africa, founder of the International Concerned Family and Friends of Lumia Abu-Jamal. And music composed by Lumia, which is called Vampire Nation. So,
well,
thank you
so much.
That starts at 6 and will go until 9:45. And
thank
there
you.
Is a link to register since space is limited. And I know they're
thank
working
you.
On trying to do some kind of live stream, but they haven't announced that yet. So I would advise people to register soon if you're in New York because space is limited. St. Mary's is not a very large church. Thank you, Sister Beth.
All right. Comrade Ori, Sister Ramona, Comrade Eddie, and I think I heard there was another Africa family member there. The mic is yours.
Yeah, this is Janine Africa.
Oh, Janine.
Hi,
all right. Okay, folks. Say it again. You can't say it enough. Talk about the death camps from that's holding Mamiya captive and what you want people to do. And then we'll make our final announcements and we're out of here. Unless Brother Kazi wants to add a few words as well. And 7785. We're going to open up your mics as well because we cannot emphasize enough. This is an urgent issue and we need all soldiers to represent. All right, Africans, move.
Well, one thing that we want people to go back to is it is a death camp, and this is deliberate. You know, we call it medical assassination, and that's just what it is, medical assassination, and that's what they're trying to do to Mumia, to Leonard Peltier, and all of the political prisoners. So it's urgent, people, that we show them that we're out here for them to help them stay strong. You know, me being one of the Move 9, I did 41 years in prison. So I know talking about when I say the letters of support help fortify those people in the struggle. So, you know, as we're fighting to get him released, fighting him to get the medical care he needs, we also need to give him the support, the emotional support and strength to keep him going, keep him motivated, because that also helps him to fight against what they're doing to him medically. So it's important, like they said, not only for them, but also to show the administration that they're being watched, and they will be careful, more careful, because they know that they're being watched and they will be exposed. And they are very afraid of being exposed to the public. They like to keep everything done inside those prisons. So flood those prisons with letters, phone calls, and Krasner, and any state reps, clergy. You have a whole list of people that are in the position that they're supposed to help the people. Use them. Use them.
That's right. And we're telling people, keep the pressure on Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner. Call him at 215-686-8000 and demand the release of our brother Mumia Abu-Jamal, an innocent man, on a move to free all life from this system.
Well, if no one
on
else
the move.
Wants, but yes, Brother Eddie, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted people to remember and not let themselves be manipulated into being lethargic. We got to fight. You know what I mean? It's past time for just words, we have to literally fight. You know what I mean? Krasner and them guys, they know what they're doing. This is deliberate. This is as if somebody came to your house and threatened to kill one of your family members. If you would defend yourself then, let's do it now.
Right on.
Did you want to add anything more? I noticed you have not discussed why there is a phrase called the Mamiya exception. And what was Mamiya's struggle that caused the FBI to focus on him from when I think he was, what, 13 or 14 years old? Does anybody want to deal with that?
It's the Black Panther Party.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, Mamiya was in the Black Panther Party, and he was, for that young age, he was very instrumental and in the struggle and, you know, putting a lot of energy into it. But as it went on and he put his talent into the journalism, he became very influential in the grassroots. And he became the voice of the voiceless. He has a lot of influence. To him, they respect him. And that's what made him dangerous, because once they saw the influence he had and he used his influence to expose what this system was doing to move, that's when the target really was put on his back, because he was the only journalist that would report what was happening to move in our trial word for word. He didn't slant it for a move. He didn't slant it against the police. He just printed the truth. And that's what was damaging, because the truth was Move was innocent, and we were being framed and railroaded, and it was coming out in Mumia's articles and his radio programs. He was threatened to stop. He wouldn't. And that's where they got to the point where they felt like, okay, so now you're a threat, and we got to get rid of you, because he had a following that would have put so much pressure on this government about what they were doing to Move. And despite the target on his back, Mumia refused to stop. And what got him shot down in the streets was after the Move 9 was sentenced, the judge, Judge Malmet, was on a radio program, and Mumia called in and asked the judge, who shot Officer Rant? And he pressured the judge, and the judge went berserk and said, I don't know who killed them, but it was one of them in the house. And after that radio program is when they shot Mumia down in the streets, because it was evident that he was using his influence to push for Move to be released. And they could not stop him, because he worked for NPR, National Public Radio, and they tried to pressure him to stop covering Move and a lot of other issues, and he wouldn't do it. They fired him, but he kept on doing what he was doing. So that's the stand that Mumia took. So we can take a stand for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I would like to, at this time, if I can, have continue. Kazi, your mic is open. If you will, help me out here and say a few words.
I don't want to get redundant. I'll just add on to what the sisters and brothers been saying. Like Malcolm said, by any means necessary, we are at war.
Yeah.
We are at war. And that's what people got to understand. This is a war, you know? And we have to do it by any means necessary. We got to save Mumia's life and get Leonard up out of there.
Well, they're making it clear that it's a war, because anybody that watched the August 8th, 1978 attack on Move headquarters, watched the May 13th, 1985 bombing of Move headquarters, you will see that this system has declared war on the people.
That's right.
And you know, any life, any species of life, when trapped in a corner, you got to come out fighting.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. I want to remind people once again that there are several activities that will be taking place for the people who want to organize. If you are interested in organizing, please remember February 24th. If you're interested in organizing, the Spirit of Mandela Northeast Coalition is holding an event from 1 to 3 p.m. in the Bronx on February, this is Monday, when most people have off, February the 19th. And we're asking you to please come out. If you want to start organizing to support political prisons, to stop mayoral control of education, you can't, we cannot do it alone. And we've got to stop doing the things that divide us and find things, more things that unite us. Before we leave, I want to know if the African People's Socialist Party, or Comrade Sayero, did you want to remind them again about the importance of supporting Chairman Yeshitela?
Well, yes, I will say that he's facing the death sentence, all of them facing the sentence of 15 years. And we know our chairman is at 82 years old. And any fighter, warrior, any revolutionary, just as we speak of Mamiya, just as we speak of the Africa famine, just as we speak of any warrior that would fight justly, and with valiance, relentlessly, are always going to be targets. But we know that we can't do things in fear. I'll remind you that on the 3rd of September, please make it a point to be in Tampa, Florida, for the trial of Chairman Omar Yeshitela, Jesse Neville, and Penny Hess. I really beckon all to go to the handsoffuhuru.org, sign the petition to also get involved, as we all are with everything. We must. Linda Peltier needs to be free. Mamiya needs to be free. They did nothing, nothing that no one who cherishes freedom would not have done. Nobody's picked up the gun. Nobody's made a threat. We just asked. Does not mean that we want to mix in a society that does not love us. Does not mean that we want to be an enemy that never could like us. They're enslavers. So I want to say that, and I want to thank you all, because you strengthened me and energized me, these truths that a lot of us sorely are unaware of. Organize, organize. That is such an important factor, because generations that are basically going to be lost if we don't take up this mantle. We have war, that, and by any means necessary, fight. Don't be coward. Don't be afraid. Look them in the eye. They're cowards. They are cowards. They can't look at you when you speak the truth. Just as they did Mamiya, they shot him down. Well, expect to be shot in a terrorist society, a society that will not let go of land that they stole. These are thieves, criminals, and we all know these facts. Again, I'm going to ask that you go to handsoffuhuru.org, sign the petition, get involved. All of us do. We need to do call Ossoff and others, the other Congress people. As far as our brothers, I don't even know what to call. I don't even call them brothers and sisters. Anyone that would trade against their people is an enemy, and we have plenty of those. I did put, I'll say this and I'll leave it alone. I followed the system. On my ballot, I wrote Joseph Wallace. That's Chairman O'Malley, Yeshitela, for president. That's what I did. These are the challenges that we do. Everything they say yes to, we say no to. We know that when they say no, we mean yes. I just want to thank you all. Handsoffuhuru.org. Go and you can see all the features. Everything from the
Thank you.
The height of the ravaging COVID-19 crisis, an American healthcare agency announced a position paper designed to ease human suffering and indeed to advocate for the abolition of the systems of mass incarceration. The American Public Health Association called AFA, watching the harrowing numbers of deaths in prisons, has determined that the age of abolition has come and has called for the release of the encaged elderly. One of the vagaries of mass incarceration is the explosion of the elderly as part of the prison population. Today, men in their 70s and 80s roll around here in wheelchairs or hobble walkers or even stroll with the help of canes. They have a host of health problems, from diabetes to COPD, from heart ailments to cancer. It is time now to respond to the call from our formerly incarcerated and our impacted communities for the release of our elders who are no longer a threat. In its broad call for abolition, AFA has advanced the novel idea that the elderly in prison have been subjected to elder abuse by the state in all the ways they have been mistreated and maltreated. For they are subjected to solitary confinement, to aching joints, to the natural frailties of old age and time, to poor medical care, to make matters even worse. The American Public Health Association must now align with our formerly incarcerated elders and urge that elderly prisoners be made free of elder abuse by release from confinement. They must urge this upon state, county, federal, and territorial prisons, jails, and institutions of detention. With love, not fear. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Well, I want you to understand that is not just a question about political prisoners. This is a question of elder abuse. So if you cannot free them, the political prisoners, if you demand the release of our elders, you will incorporate a lot of our political prisoners. And if you don't do something about it now, what you're going to find is if you, and you will be forced to protest soon, because we are in a fascist state. We're not moving toward it. We are in it. And it is our duty, it is your duty to free our political prisoners who stood up for us. It is your duty to free Mumia Abu-Jamal. It is your duty to free Leonard Peltier. Sister Ramona, did you want to say anything else? Stay home.
I just want to say again that these politicians, these judges, and other officials, senators, congresspeople, they live and work in somebody's neighborhood. They should not be ignored. You know, they need to be confronted where they work and where they live. On the move, long live John Africa.
Long live John Africa.
Long live John Africa.
And thank you, Sister Betty.
Well, I want all of you for tonight's special program. You have really made a difference in that you are standing up and you're not afraid to testify for Mumia. And I want to remind you of the special program that is going to be heard for Hell for Him at the St. Mary's Church on February the 24th. Thank you again for tuning in, and we hope you will tune in again next time on Tuesday, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.
On the move.
On the move.
On the move.
knew how.